I'm really excited coming here and really trying to express what the Spirit of God is really saying. And Pastor Alfred, you know, asked me if I preach something about the ghost. I was a bit afraid about the title. But it's actually the Spirit of God. Okay, let's just rise up and let me read the scripture in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 25. It's a bit lengthy. Can you just walk with me here? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step in the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that we'll be able to understand in walking with you. I pray, Lord God, that each and everyone in this room will understand the power of God, will be able to tap into the presence of God. Lord, I pray that today will be a revolutionary day for them. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will transform them into your image in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so here we are talking about walking by the Spirit. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit is a being. And the Holy Spirit will not violate your will. It's the same with salvation. When you gave your life to Christ, it was a voluntarily act. God did not give you salvation on your own. You decided to give your life to God. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. You have to invite the Holy Spirit in your life. Do I hear amen?
Amen.
Okay. So when the Holy Spirit comes, it's like you have to make room for the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit has to be really, really special in your life. You have to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. When you make room for someone, normally it's someone special, right? Like if your fiancé is coming inside the room, you allow your fiancé to sit beside you. Am I correct? I hope so, guys, or else you will not have a fiancé tomorrow. You know, hey, honey, sit beside me, right? Or if, you know, if your sister's there, your mom and dad will force you to make room for your sister or your brother, whether you like her or not. You make room for someone that you care for. You really make room. You have an idea that they're coming in. They're part of your life. And how you make room will determine how you decide. In everything you do, how you live, how you respond to circumstances. You have to decide. Things don't just happen and then react like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Everything is a decision. Now, the Holy Spirit, you have to know its role and its function in your life. If you do not know the role of the Spirit of God, it's like you're tapping into a gift, but you're not using it. Who has received the gift, but you're not really using it? Is it just Pastor Richard? Come on, if I go to your house, promise, I know there are gifts there you haven't touched, especially for the women. But of course, that's not a gift. You bought it. Right? I have gifts there. I hide, and then after 2 years, I open the cabinet. It's like, oh my gosh, it's here. It's like you don't use it. Because you don't realize the potential of that gift, especially if you're not techie like me. It's like, don't give me any tech gifts. I'll just throw it. Oh, no, never mind. You know, you don't understand the role. A lot of Christians today, sad to say, they hear of the Holy Spirit, but they don't really know the Holy Spirit. Come on. They don't know the Spirit of God. You have to know the Spirit of God. Because if you don't know the Spirit of God, you're in trouble. You don't know you're going through warfare, and you don't know what you're trying to utilize. You know, when you're married for a long time, if you do not know your husband or your wife for some time, you're in trouble. Sometimes my husband will do something that would irritate me, right? That's why the submission part, the submit to your husband, is a struggle. Anyway, you know, I enter the room and then I would ask him, honey, make sure when you come back, you buy me a set of bread or grapes, and make sure you come home because I'm going to have a party. That's the only thing I'm going to ask you to do. Then he goes off, and then he comes back. And I say, honey, where's the bread and where's the grapes? And he looks at me like in awe. Like in awe, what? Did you say anything? You know, I would just look away. If my husband does not know that look away, he would not have a wife by tomorrow. Because he knows, when, of course, we have guests, I can't fight him there, right? So I have to fight him the next day when they leave. Hello? My husband knows when I start looking away, he's in trouble. He knows me. He knows when I look up, I'm thinking. He knows when I look to the side, I'm in trouble. He knows when I look down, not very happy. You know what I'm talking about? Just gesture alone, you just know. But the problem with Christians, they do not know how to interact with the Spirit of God. They don't know how to tap into the power of God. And the other problem among Christians is they hyper-spiritualize things. You know, I don't understand when someone is given a follower of Christ, all of a sudden, it's all the Spirit of God. Have you ever seen people that way? It's like, oh, I'm waiting on God whether I'm going to work or not. Do you want to starve to death? It's like, do you need to wait on God whether you're going to work or not? Hello? Do you wait on God whether you're going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner? You don't. It's called common sense, right? It's like you don't wait on God. So sometimes it's hard to relate with those people. I really struggle with those people. It's like, you know, sometimes, hey, what do you need to do? Well, I'm waiting on God. Okay, so what have you done? I'm still waiting on God. I really have a hard time with those people who always wait on God. I'm spiritual, but I believe in stepping out in faith and taking dominion and possessing the land. When sometimes when you step out in faith, then all the answers starts coming in. When the Israelites stepped out in faith to enter into the promised land, they had to step out. They didn't stay in Egypt and say, oh, the promised land, we're waiting on God. You have to move out. So there has to be some form of balance where waiting on the Spirit and also common sense. And sometimes Christians don't have common sense. Trust me, I've counseled a lot of them. You know what I mean? I can't comprehend. It's like, if I have a debt, what are you doing with your debt? I'm waiting on God. Waiting on God? It's called paying your debt. Don't you think? Oh, yeah. But it's not, we shouldn't be that way. Christians should be one of the wisest, most practical, faith-oriented, and yet wise people. There's a difference. You know why a lot of people are not attracted to us? They find us weird. They do. You know, they just won't say it. But I'll say it. But we shouldn't be that way. We need to be relatable. You relate to these people, but you have authority and power. The Spirit of God has to be real inside of you, and yet you're relatable. There's a difference. So I'm here to make you understand this. I'm here to help you really fulfill the fullness of God in your life and not be intimidated. You know, sometimes when you're waiting on God, it's just fear. It's fear to make a mistake. It's fear to enter into a decision that you don't know the outcome. Yes, it will be that way, but trust that it's by faith. But in the work and the help of the Spirit of God, He will give you the victory. Amen? Amen? Yes. That's just my introduction. I would like to apologize because I'm not the most calm woman in the world, as you can see. So what is walking by the Spirit? The Greek is noumenati peripate, meaning used literally to walk in the track or to follow in the track, to behave in the same manner or someone else, to imitate or to do as others do, to follow in someone's steps. You follow. That's walking by the Spirit. You're literally inhabiting, or you are part of the Spirit of God. God being with you. You imitate. You walk by the Spirit. A more wider perspective or understanding of it, it's like to walk around after someone or to walk in a particular direction. There's a direction. Brothers and sisters, you will go somewhere when you walk in the Spirit. Yes. You're not going to go around the wilderness. Yes, hello? Yes. Many here are without any direction at this time. But the Lord will give you breakthrough as you allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. So there is really a direction. During Aristotle's time, the students will be called peripatetics, meaning the students literally followed the teacher wherever they went. So during Aristotle's time, would they say, oh, that student is a peripatetics. But now we call them alias diehard. Oh! That person is a diehard. Oh, that person is a fan. That person is fanatic. That is actually peripatetics. You become that person, right? So that's the new terminology that you can relate to. So it's like fanatics, fans, impersonators. Have you watched? I don't know, because I'm really old, you know. During Elvis Presley, who's the old people here? Don't raise your hand. You might not be my friend after. Well, it's kind of dark. You can raise your hand. You know, during my younger days, there are the Elvis Presley impersonators. And my goodness, they would dress up like Elvis Presley. And they would move like Elvis Presley. And they would sing like, of course, they can't sing like Elvis Presley. Because if they could, then they'll be famous like Elvis Presley. But they would really, I would watch them, and to this day, they would go out, they would eat with their friends with the Elvis Presley outfit. That's how fanatics they were. When Britney Spears came out, she had this outfit that became so, it's like the midriff pants. Everybody, all the teenagers, all the women, old, scary, middle to the young, they were wearing this type of pants, which below the belly button. And everybody was walking around and trying to look like Britney Spears. They were fanatics. They were impersonating. They were becoming that person. So you need to become like the Holy Spirit. Walk with the Spirit of God. Do you understand the fanaticism here? My daughter used to, my eldest daughter used to work for L'Oreal Philippines. And of course, with L'Oreal, they had to do all kinds of beauty things, and they had to understand about coloring. And they were studying about the Japanese culture. And in Japan, that a hairdresser would have a mentor and an apprentice. In the Philippines, a hairdresser could be, let me go back. Japanese culture really is, it takes 10 long years for the mentor to train the apprentice. 10 years. My gosh, so the hairdresser will be there and the apprentice will just follow like a peripatetics, 10 years. So I went to Japan one day and I said, I wonder if this myth is a fake, you know what I mean, or this ideology or this teaching is really a fake, or is it really true? I can't believe 10 years. So one day I was in Japan and I saw a salon, but I call it a beauty parlor because I'm so old. So my husband said, honey, nobody calls beauty parlor anymore. It's called salon. So now I say salon. Anyway. So I saw this salon from a distance, and I saw the instructor, you know, cutting the hair. And they're practically just two inside in the salon. So the hairdresser was cutting, and the apprentice was like this. She was just followed all the whatever, and then he was just, and then he would stand in the corner, and then he would extend his, like, he would catch the hair, and then he would stand again. So I looked at that thing, and I said, oh my goodness, that man is practically following the teacher all over the place. In the Philippines, who's been in the Philippines? Woohoo! Thank God for the Philippines. In the Philippines, if you don't know the Filipinos, we love to copy things. We do. Louis Vuitton. ₱75,000 in Europe. In the Philippines, ₱900. You can't tell the difference. That's Louis Vuitton. You know, the hairdresser that I'm talking about in Japan for 10 years, the hairdresser is sweeping the floor. Next month, that hairdresser is cutting already. I'm not joking. You know, an artist, they're so funny. They're an artist, they're an actress, camera action. And then at night, they're a chef. There's no apprenticeship enough to ingrain themselves with being, there's a specialty or skilled specialization in it. That's the problem with Filipinos. We're so creative that we don't really know who we are. But that's not how the Spirit of God is. You need to imitate. You need to follow. So, my number one thing is, how do you make room for the Spirit of God? Walk by the Spirit. Walk along with the Spirit. In verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You have to walk by the Spirit, so you will not gratify the flesh. In Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. There has to be some form of loyalty and allegiance. You know why there's so many divorced people? There's no loyalty. There's no allegiance. By hook or by crook, I'm stuck with you forever. You know, you have some allegiance. I know you guys, especially the men, the rugby team, right? You know, it's either you're from New Zealand, rugby team, or Australia. There's no, I'm Australia today, and I'm New Zealand tomorrow. No! You have to be fanatic. It's like, yeah, and then they, you know, all this football thing, and then next time you know, there's a rumble. It's crazy. They're unstable. I don't understand, you know, those basketball games. It's like, you're either from Team A or Team B. And then they're all screaming their head off. You know, when you love a certain actor, it's either you're Chris Hemsworth or George Clooney. No, George Clooney forever. No, Chris Hemsworth forever. I'm Thor. You have to be some form of fanaticism. There's an allegiance, the Bible says. With that fanaticism, with that allegiance, you have to connect it with the Spirit of God. But the thing is that part of our life? That fanaticism. Is the Spirit of God part? Do you know, I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I say, God, thank you for all the things that you have done, good or bad. Good or bad. I recall all the good things that God has given me, all the breakthroughs. I wake up and I say, thank you for my coffee. It's so black. Really, thank you for my dog. She's so ugly. She's a French bulldog. The pug is confused, doesn't know what direction he's going to. You know, all these little things that you have, that you take for granted, that you know God has given you that breakthrough. You thank God because as you are thankful with those things, you are prepared as you endeavor in the future. You're extremely thankful. It's real. The Holy Spirit has been with you all this time. You recall the victory as you enter into your new fight. You have the confidence that God is with you. Amen. Small as it may be. Amen? So that's how you practice it. Number two, you notice everything you see is clearly. It's clear. It says there, now the works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. The works of the flesh are evident. It's clear. So what are the works of the flesh? Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, deception, division, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. That's the works of the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. So it's clear. It's evident. You're not confused. So I don't understand why Christians are confused. It's either you're walking with God or you're walking in the Spirit of God. The Bible says it's better that you're hot or you're cold, but I don't want you to be lukewarm or I'll spit you out. Blech. You know what I mean? It's not, I'll spit you out. Either you're hot or you're cold. It's either you're passionate for Christ or you're not. You know, I'm here surviving. I'm not surviving. Excuse me. You're confused, darling. I have no patience for that. You could see the pastoral gifting is really struggling. What do you mean surviving? It's either you're walking in the flesh or walking by the Spirit. You know, when I counsel people, you know, I don't really know what happened. It just happened. You don't really know what happened. Come on, Pastor Richard. I'm sure you've heard that, right? I just fell into sin. I just don't know what happened. Trust me, if you have been a pastor for a long time, you've heard it all. So you don't really know when that liquor was being poured. You don't really know that your hand was reaching out for the bottle. You don't really know that the hand was standing up and going inside your mouth. You don't really know. You're gulping everything. It's all involuntary. Your mind doesn't know what your hand's doing, right? You don't really know that you're walking and entering into the room and it's just you and the girl because you're blind. Hello? You don't really know. I don't know. My body's forcing me. Come on. All right. Admit. Okay, I did it. It was foolish. God help me. Face the facts. Say it as it is. As it is. Sin is sin. Grace is grace. Life is not complicated. It's only man that complicates it. You still love me? Good, because I love myself. So it's either you're hot or you're cold. Do you know I respect the atheist? At least they're not confused. They know where you stand. They really know. So what's your religion? I don't have any religion. I'm an atheist. Good for you. Good for you. You're not confused. You know who you are. Yeah. It's sad, but at least they have a stand. The Bible says it's either you're cold or hot. You're walking with the Spirit or you're not. The works of the flesh is evident, but the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit of God is within you. You can move in the Spirit of God. You know, one day, I got pregnant. If you know this, I did. We got pregnant 5 times. So, you know, when you're pregnant and all this, you know, news blizz will say, oh, guess what? When you get pregnant, after you go give birth, you'll experience postpartum, which is postpartum depression for the men who are not pregnant yet. You will never get pregnant, right? So I said, huh? Really? You're going to go through postpartum? I said, wait a minute. So in my mind, I have the fruit of the Spirit of God. And what's the fruit of the Spirit of God? Self-control. Yeah, yeah. Self-control. I'm talking to myself at this time, right? So I said, I'm not entering postpartum. I will not go through depression because the Spirit of God is self-control. So when I give birth, I did not go through postpartum depression. Now, who can say amen to that? So I said, yeah, the Spirit of God, you and me, we're close. No postpartum, all 5 pregnancies. My children would say, you know, the friends would talk together, hey, you know, how long did your mom go through postpartum? And my daughter would say, what's that? Because I didn't go through any form of depression. Isn't God great? Now enter my premenopausal state. Now that's a challenge. I enter my 50s. Hallelujah. And then I heard, when you enter your perimenopause, which I don't really care. I'm announcing it to the whole world. You experience all kinds of pain. Headaches, hot flashes, nausea, you know, irritability, you know, anger, outrage, you know, all kinds of physical condition. And man, when it landed on me, it landed in full blast. As in when God decided to drop this perimenopause symptoms, it all landed there. Except for the hot flashes. So, you know, I was waiting for the hot flashes to come, and I wasn't experiencing it. But, man, I had headaches, aches, irritability, anger. So what happened to the fruit? The fruit! The fruit! It was down there in the hills! It fell over! I was practically picking it up and tying it on my shoulder. You know? It's like, oh, the goodness that you... The gentleness, the self-control, where is it? It disappeared. My daughters, man, pray for them. When my dad called me, Mom, what? I said, am I saved, God? That bad. I was really questioning my salvation. I was. My husband would say, what's wrong with you? You need to repent. Easy for you. Easy for you to say you're not going through perimenopause. repent. I said, God, oh my goodness, what's happening to me? My secretary, my staff, you know, before when I would tell my staff, answer the client, email this, and then scan this first and email and send it. Make sure you answer the client right away. If my staff would forget it, oh, did you do it? No, ma'am, just make sure you do it now. Did you send the scan, the attachment to the client? No, I haven't, ma'am. How do I kill this human being without sinning? And I would, you know, I could feel my face getting red. I was imagining strangling her, throwing her out, stabbing her to death, firing her, you know, all kinds of godly imagination. Man, it was down the drain. The fruit is gone. And I had to pray, and it was difficult. This time, the Holy Spirit and I, we were in France. It was a struggle. And I had to pray. I said, God, what's happening? How come it worked before? It's not working now. You know, sometimes you ask those questions. How come it worked before? It's not working now. Honestly, I don't have the answers for everything. But one thing is for certain, I will still follow God. No matter if I know the answer or not. Why is God allowing me to go through all this physical pain? I do not know. All I know is God, no matter what, let me tap into the Spirit of God. And if I fail today, I'll work on it again tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. Amen? Amen. So those are my struggles. Thank God I shared it all to you. So it's difficult. In Galatians 5:18, it actually solves things because the Spirit provides strong leadership and direction in a world that is described as a war zone. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We are under a war right now. We're going through war, whether you like it or not. In Ephesians 6, it says, although our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand firm. And you know what? This fight could be daily. You fail today, you start again tomorrow. You fail today, you start again tomorrow. Because it's a fight of faith. When a soldier goes out in battle, it's not all victories. Sometimes they would fall and they would retreat. But they would regroup and then attack again. Do you understand? You should not allow the condemnation to control your decision making. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. We do not decide based on fear. We decide based on faith. We do not decide based on failure. We decide based on our God. Therefore, we as a Christian, we need to have that mindset. That mindset that we are. God has called us to be the head and not the tail. God has called us to be the lender and never the borrower. God has called us to conquer and possess the land and not allow us to stay and rotten in the wilderness. It did not call us that way. That's why we are privileged. You know why Christians are happy? Because we have hope. We have hope that it may not turn out well today, but we know it's going to turn out well in the future. There's a difference. We have hope, no matter what the sufferings are. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. We can have the control to say no to sin. We have the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of you. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we have the power and the victory. And number three, you have a direction. You know, when you say, I walk by the Spirit, you will not walk with the things of the flesh. When you walk, you go up like this person, you go up, and then you enter the door, you know where you're going. After this, you go up, you go to your car, you have a direction, you go to your home. There's a direction. There's a destination. But in any destination, it takes time. And the sad part of it all is, especially the young people, they have a hard time with time. They want results right away. My husband would say this scripture to me, which I also hate. He would say, you know, when you're in business, right? You know, it takes some time before your business starts to flourish. And he would look at me and say, honey, he who sows little by little will eventually grow. Who likes a husband saying those things to you? No, I want the money now. I want the profit now. I want the return now. No, the Bible says, he who sows little by little will eventually grow. You know, when you're a businesswoman, you just get irritated with those scriptures. You do. It's like, no, the return has to come now. The food, the microwave, everything has to be fast. The internet has to be, you know, it's so slow. I'm so irritated. But the Spirit of God will never be moved because He is more concerned with your character than the blessing. The character will sustain the blessing. An inheritance gained too quickly will not be good in the end. Those are my favorite scriptures. And sometimes you want that inheritance. Lord, let me possess the land. Let me get my inheritance. But the character, which takes walking in a certain direction and takes time, you don't want to happen. God can't be moved. His character will sustain. You know the difference between the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit of God? The fruit, which is the character of Jesus, is given to you in bulk. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control is just bah, given to you. Nothing earned. But the gifts is allocated. This is word of knowledge. This beautiful lady will get word of wisdom. This other good-looking man will get distinguishing of spirits. It's allocated. You know why God distributes the gifts? Because if He gives it like the fruit, people will be arrogant and will not run to God. And you will not work together. That's why the body is working together. You see, God is good in building the church. Isn't it God so smart? When it comes to the character of Jesus Christ, it's a bulk. It's like they land it to you here for free. It's like wholesale, all for one. It's not given to you in retail price. Wholesale, book. But the gifts, I can't have it all, darling, or you'll be arrogant. That's the difference. But with that, there has to be some point of direction. In Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your lives, your days, in the land that you will possess. God looks long term. He wants your life to be prolonged. There's a purpose why God created you. And they want longevity. It's not like, you know, you don't see the purpose in life and, you know, people kill themselves. They go through depression, they kill themselves, their suicide is so high because they don't see the purpose in their prolonged life. Yes. But God is giving you this so you will be fruitful and your life will be prolonged. Amen? Amen. In Galatians 6:7-9, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, due season, we will reap if we do not give up. The Spirit of God is working with us. The question is, will you make room for the Spirit of God in your life? The question is, will you walk and imitate the Spirit of God? The question is, will the Spirit of God be evident in your life? The question is, will you allow the God and the Spirit of God transform you into His image? The question is, will you submit to the character and the will of God? The question is, will you not be weary and persevere in moving in the Spirit of God? So you will have a prolonged life. You will reap the harvest. Do not be weary of doing good. I sense a lot of people here who are weary of doing good. You feel like, I don't really know my situation or what's going to happen 5 or 10 years from now. You know what? No one will know. But in God's time, His purpose is always to give you a hope and a future, never to harm you, to always promote, and for you to possess the land. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is here right now and wants to bring healing to your people. I'm just referring to certain people here. You know, you feel discouraged. There's a lot of condemnation because there's a lot of failure going on in your life. It seems like you're not really telling people what's going on right now, but there's a lot of failure going on. You know, the fruit of the Spirit of God is not that evident in your life. And it has brought a lot of condemnation and frustration right now. As a Christian, if that's you, God wants to heal you from this condemnation and fear of failure. Right now, if that's you, eyes closed, hands up, let me pray for you. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for these people. I thank you, Lord, that they are humbling themselves before you. Lord, they are admitting. Lord, they're repenting. They're renouncing right now. This failure right now. This sin right now. Lord, they're repenting. Lord, they renounce it right now. And Father, you're coming in. Holy Spirit, come in right now. Let your spirit of sonship and confirmation, let your spirit of reconciliation come in and tap into them. Let the spirit of confirmation tap into them. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who conquers. Lord, we bind that spirit of condemnation in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind it right now in the name of Jesus. We bind also the spirit of fear, the fear of failure. We bind it right now. The fear of the future, we bind it right now in the name of Jesus. We also bind the spirit of depression. The spirit of depression, we bind it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we declare clarity. Clarity in direction. Hope to infuse your people right now. That the Spirit of God is our ally. The Spirit of God is our strength. The Spirit of God is our conqueror. In Jesus' mighty name. The second group I want to pray for is you don't really have a direction. You feel like you're in the wilderness and you really don't know where to go. And it's affecting you emotionally. It's affecting the way you perceive yourself and perceive God. And it's also affecting how you are as a Christian. If that's you right now, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, that's it.
That's it.
Lord, I pray, Lord God, for this men and women in the name of Jesus who needs clarity right now in their destination. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who called us by name. You are a God who knew us even before we were created in our mother's womb, who have predestined us, Lord God, to be great, to prosper us and never to harm us. Father, I pray that you open the heavens that no man can shut. And I thank you, Lord God, that you will bring clarity in that direction. Father, the spirit of perseverance, the spirit of sowing and sowing and sowing and patience to come forth for my brothers and sisters. And Father, I pray for a harvest 100-fold. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, as you open the heavens, let the floodgates of heaven open before them in Jesus' mighty name. I just want to pray for the whole group. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that this, every nation, New Zealand, Auckland City, I thank you, Lord God, that the Spirit of God will be evident in your lives. I thank you, Lord God, that your people, Lord God, will be a power-packed people. I thank you, Lord God, that your people will be spirit-filled people. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that your people will have the wisdom beyond their years. Let the Spirit of God be evident. Let the Spirit of God be near. Let them always invite the Spirit of God in their lives. Lord, there's a conscious effort to collaborate and work with the Holy Spirit. Lord, wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom. Breakthrough upon breakthrough upon breakthrough in their daily lives, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that it is your will to bless your people, and the hand of protection is indeed upon them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.